2 Corinthians chapter 2 in the Bible this afternoon or this evening. Second Corinthians and chapter number 2. I want to read one verse to us tonight. Verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 2. The Bible said there, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ,
amen,
and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Now may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight that we can gather together in the house of God. Thank You for the morning hour. Thank You, Lord, for Your people that have gathered back in the house of God again tonight. I pray, Lord, for a double portion of the Spirit of God that was on Elijah to be upon us in here tonight. May Your grace fill every heart and Your love move every soul. I pray, Lord, that every knee should bow tonight, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I pray You help us, give us understanding from the Word of God. I ask You, Lord, to bless us as only You can. Help our families, our homes, our lives. I pray You'll save sinners. Use us in a wonderful way to reach those that are without Christ. I bless now, Lord. I pray now, Lord, that You'd bless the preacher as I stand, that You'd fill me with the Spirit of God, with liberty and with power, and grant that which needs to be done, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated tonight. All right, the first part of verse number 14 there said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always, always," you ought to underline that word in your Bible, "which always causes us to triumph in Christ." I'm glad I'm not a loser. Said, "which always causes us to triumph in Christ." That's a big statement. But God's a big God, and He can say that. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. I think I found a little digging hole in the last few weeks, a little hole to dig in, rather. And I'm going to try to dig and scratch around that hole a little bit more tonight, if God will help me. And I want to preach a little while on the thought of being triumphant in Christ. Being triumphant, having victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess there are several ways that a man could describe what Paul is saying in this verse to be triumphant in Christ. One thing is to live that victorious Christian life.
Amen.
You know, we sang that song tonight, "Victory in Jesus." And I'm glad, thank God, that we can have that victory in the Lord. That is, if we want it. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think, but it's according to His power that worketh in us. And so I'm glad that we can have that victory that the Lord Jesus gives us in our Christian life. The Bible said, or Paul said in Romans chapter number 8, he said that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I love to quote that verse quite often. Now, I don't know what more than a conqueror is, but we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's going a long way. That's going a little bit over conquering. I believe what that literally means is we not only conquer, but that which we conquer, we possess. When Israel went into Canaan land, the land they conquered, they not only conquered it, but they possessed it as well. They remained there and possessed that land. And there's numerous promises in the Word of God, several promises in the Word of God that assure us of a complete and a final victory in our spiritual life. You know, I feel sorry for Armenians tonight. And I say that in honesty. I feel sorry for them. If you don't know what an Armenian is, an Armenian is somebody that believes that they can lose their salvation. Now, I feel sorry for people like that tonight. I really do. Because there's numerous promises in this Bible that gives us great and blessed assurance that we are going not only to have a complete victory, but a final victory in the Lord. It's already won. Somebody said, "How can it be?" Because Christ has already died upon the cross. He has already been buried, and He's already rose again from the grave. And therefore, we're not working to that victory. We're working from that victory. We already have the victory that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:56, He said, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that word last, that little word last, the last enemy, signifies that every enemy that precedes death shall in like manner be overcome and destroyed. Every enemy that precedes death shall in like manner be overcome and destroyed. Now, if we get a hold of that tonight, that'll help us. That'll help us greatly to know that we're more than conquerors, that He always causes us to triumph in Christ. And if the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and God's going to conquer every enemy that precedes death, that tells me that we've got complete and total victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can be triumphant tonight in the Lord. Now, I want to mention two or three things that I see in this verse before I get into the message. And we'll try to be as brief as we can. I've got a long way to go, so you pray for me. I mean that. So you pray for me. But I want to mention, first of all, here, the attitude that I see of Paul's heart. Paul said there, "Now thanks be unto God." The attitude of Paul's heart was that of being thankful. One of my favorite verses in the Scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so, you know, Paul was thankful for the victory that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this to you tonight, that we're not going very far with God until we learn or till we understand or till we have that thankful heart that God wants us to have. Church, if we can't be thankful for what God has done for us, then we've got a real problem tonight. Paul, and literally what he's saying, he said, "I want to thank God that I'm triumphant tonight. Now, I want to thank God that I was triumphant in salvation. I'm going to be triumphant over death. And that means I'm going to be triumphant in everything that comes between there also." Boy, if we get a hold of that, we can say, "Shame on the devil tonight." Hallelujah, that's right. And we ought to be thankful. And I learned this a long time ago. The more thankful we are about what God does for us, the more that He will do for us. I tell you, we are way behind on thanking God for His blessings upon our life. We call for testimonies, and I'm telling you, some of you never get up and thank God for anything. I tell you, surely there's something in your life that you can thank the Lord for. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. You've got your family in the house of God tonight. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. You're sealed into the day of redemption. You're on your way to heaven. We ought to have something to be thankful about. Amen. Amen. He guarantees us victory over our troubles, our trials, our temptations. Amen. He guarantees us victory tonight over all these things in our life. And so the attitude of Paul's heart there was one of being very thankful.
Amen.
Now I want to mention the degree of our deliverance. He said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." The word has the idea of being thorough. May I say tonight that Jesus never halfway delivers somebody. Oh, that's exactly right. When we got saved by the grace of God, He did not halfway deliver us from sin. He didn't halfway deliver us from Satan. He delivered us completely, all the way God delivered us. Amen. Now, can you imagine seeing those three Hebrew boys in that furnace of fire, and Jesus walking around in that fire with them, and He only calls them halfway out of the fire, and then leaves them in that fire, bringing them halfway out. Oh no, He didn't leave them in that fire. He brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all the way out of that fire. God completely delivers tonight. I'm glad that He does. He doesn't do anything halfway. God does it all the way. And when God delivers us tonight, He does a good job of it. Amen. Now think of Daniel in that den of lions. And I can't imagine that the king coming the next day and looking into that den and four or five lions laying down there dead and the rest of them alive and poor old Daniel gone. God stilled every pussycat in that cave. And they laid down at the feet of Daniel. And God completely and fully delivered Daniel from that den of lions. May I say this also, that He didn't halfway deliver Christ from the grave. I'm glad, thank God, that He not only died and was buried, but according to the Scriptures, thank God He got up. Hallelujah. And God fully delivered him from death and brought him up out of that grave, amen, and set him at His own right hand for you and I tonight. I'm telling you, the degree of deliverance always, He always causes us to triumph tonight. God never does anything halfway. And then the power of that deliverance tonight, or the power that enables us tonight. He said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. How? In Christ. Not in our own power.
Amen.
Not in our own strength.
Right.
But in Christ.
Yeah.
What was it that Brother Paul said? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
It's not in our own power.
Amen.
I learned a long time ago that we're going nowhere in the energy of our flesh.
Right.
And we'll get nowhere in this Christian life we're under our own power. It is by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bless His wonderful name tonight. It is He that died for our sins and rose again for our justification. Now I'm telling you, He is the power, ladies and gentlemen, that is behind our deliverance tonight. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. What a blessed God we have. Now, three or four things that we can overcome. And I'll get right to the message. I won't say that we can overcome the land of Canaan. We can overcome the land. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. You know, when Israel came up to Kadesh Barnea, and God sent the spies over into the land, they came back, and Caleb and Joshua gave a true report. But the other 10 spies that gave a false report about the land.
Amen.
I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to listen very carefully what Caleb has to say about that. The Bible said that Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, that was the word from God. Let us go up at once. In other words, let's get at it right now.
Amen.
Now, you've been here long enough that you know that the land of Canaan is speaking about that Spirit-filled life.
Amen.
Brother Paul said we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're not to be drunk on wine where is in excess, but we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when is the command for that? Right now. Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once, right now. Not an hour from now, but right now. Let us go up now, for we be able. He said, for we be able. We're able. We act like we don't have any ability tonight. We're able because it's Christ working in us. We're able tonight. We be able, he said, to overcome it. To overcome that land. Now, come on in here and listen to Brother Hall a minute. What did that land of Canaan represent in a person's life? Well, we know it was a Spirit-filled life. But I'm going to tell you something else. It represents our heart tonight.
Amen.
If you get a hold of that, are we really able tonight to let Christ possess our heart?
Amen.
Not part of it, but all of it.
Amen.
He wants all of it tonight. He doesn't want any half-hearted Christians. He wants all of our heart tonight. And I'm going to tell you, We're able tonight to possess it by the grace of God. We don't have to give place to the devil. We don't have to give place to the world. We don't have to give place to sin nor the flesh. But we're able through Christ, ladies and gentlemen, to triumph over the sins of our heart. Amen. Over the sins in our life and have victory tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that's right. But we can overcome the land of Canaan. There's not many people who want to live that spirit-filled life, though.
Amen.
They're afraid of the battles.
That's right.
There's giants up there.
Come on,
they're afraid of the giants. But I'm going to tell you something. When Caleb said what he said, he'd already seen the giants.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can slay the giants tonight. David took a little old sling with one smooth stone and slew a giant. And one stone, I'm going to tell you, we've got that stone tonight. That stone is a rock that's carved out of the mountains, amen. That stone is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Now I'm here to tell you with one smooth stone, but he doesn't have any rough edges on him. Somebody say amen to that, hallelujah to God. There's no rough edges on Christ, amen to God. David took that one little old smooth stone and put a right square between the giant's eyes and slew that giant. Amen. Now I guarantee you and I can do the same thing. We can overcome the land. Then I want to say secondly, and this may shock some of you that hadn't been here a while, but we can overcome the Lord's heart. I know people don't believe that. And I don't know as I can totally explain it to you. But I know the Song of Solomon. Solomon is speaking here. And he's a type of Christ. And Solomon says, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. He's talking about his bride, the church. And he said, turn away thine eyes from me. Boy, it got quiet. I'm glad it did. I just felt something that I hadn't felt all night. Turn thine eyes from me. For they have overcome me. God help us tonight. You know what that simply means? Hey, that simply means that our Lord can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Amen.
That is right. He can be moved by our love.
Yes, sir.
If I can say it this way, how many of you tonight in here as a daddy can say no to that little boy of yours or that little girl of yours when they come walking up to you and look up in your face with them little bitty eyes and a little tear beating out of each corner of it. And lift up their hands to you and begin to ask you for something that you have the ability to give them. Oh, I'm open. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the look in those little eyes will overcome your heart. Those eyes have a testimony of their own. They have something to say, hallelujah to God, that you just can't put in words. Now I'm telling you what Jesus is saying there. He's saying when you look into my face with those eyes of yours, he said, I just can't turn you down when you look at me. He said, I will have pity on you and mercy on you, and I'll give grace to you in your life that you might have this victory that you're longing for in your soul. I'll guarantee every one of us in here tonight, if we're saved by the grace of God, there is something in our life that we've not gotten over yet that we got to have victory in, and we ain't got that victory yet. I can speak it in those kind of terms. But He causes us to triumph in Christ. He sure can. Now I'm going to tell you, we can overcome Him. I preached that here a long time ago when I was preaching through Solomon. And folks looked at me like I was a fool. And I'm going to tell you that little bride. How many of you men in here remember? When she walked down the aisle. They finally pulled that veil off her face. That preacher said, you may now kiss the bride. And you stood there and looked in her eyes. And like Herod of old, you said, anything you want up to half of my kingdom's yours. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what Jesus says to us. When He looks in our eyes, He says, He said, hey, turn them away from me. They've overcome me. Lord, have mercy. He's looked into our eyes, looks into our eyes, and He pities us. He sees the love in our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, and we love Him. We know this because He first loved us. Hallelujah. Thank God. And when He sees that love in our eyes that we have for Him, that love overcomes Him. That's His wonderful name. Thank God. I'm telling you, we can overcome tonight. We're overcomers. Better believe we are. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now I want to say, thirdly tonight, that we can overcome our lethargy. Somebody said, what do you mean? I'm talking about our lazy spirit and our being insensitive to the needs of other people. Paul said in Romans 12, 20 and 21, he said, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Amen. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing that, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Then he said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And so we can overcome that lazy spirit that we have tonight, that complacency or that lethargy, whatever you want to call it, and our being insensitive to the needs of others. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm thinking in my heart right now that I know there's a need tonight in the house of God. Are you listening to what Brother Hall's saying? We dare not be insensitive to that need. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you what, we can come to the house of God and meet people, and they have needs in their life, and we act like there's not a thing that we can do about it. It's not that there's nothing we can do about it. We're so lazy and trifling and sorry, we don't want to do anything about it. Amen to God. When was the last time you come into the house of God and one of you men saw another brother in need and went and put your arms around him and just, hey, hugged him a little bit and said, hey, I know something's bothering you. What can I do for you? Is there something I can help you with tonight? When was the last time one of you ladies went to one of these ladies in the church or one of these young women in the church and put your arm around them and told them, I know something's bothering you. What can I do or say? How can I help you in your trouble tonight? Oh, may God help us tonight. I'm telling you, our spirit is so lazy. Let it rise tonight to where it ought to be and get sensitive to the needs of other people and be a blessing and try to be a blessing to those that are around us tonight. Amen. I'm telling it right, and you know I am. May God help us. May God help us to overcome that lethargy tonight. And I want to say, fourthly, we can overcome that lying devil tonight. Amen. You know that? Sure we can. The Bible said in 1 John 2:13, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Amen. You get a hold of that? He didn't say you might or you will someday. Now, I understand that word, you have, past tense, already overcome that wicked one. We worry about the devil. I'm going to tell you, the devil is not our problem. I'm going to tell you who we need to learn to overcome is us. That's right. We've already overcome the devil. The problem, hey, is who we see in the mirror every morning when we get up and look in that mirror. That's where the problem lies. It's us. We can never learn to overcome us. We can never learn to conquer us tonight. We never learn to yield ourselves to the will of God and the work of the Holy Ghost that is working within us. That's the problem tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, there's more rebellion in people's hearts than we want to admit. Right. I've lived a while and I've preached a while. And I'm just not pointing one finger at you. Every time I point a finger out there, I've got four shooting back in my direction, buddy. Amen. There's things in my own life I'd like to overcome. Amen. It's not always easy. When I first got saved, I said, Lord, this is going to be easy. Son, I'm going to shoot the victory. I mean, I'm going to shoot the moon. Praise God. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be there for you. You can say Jack Sprat. But I learned that this path that I'm traveling tonight, it's long and winding. Amen. It's got some deep and some dark valleys in it. It's got some high mountains that must be climbed. And I'm going to tell you, lurking behind every shadow is one of the imps of hell just waiting to spring out upon us, to hinder us in our way. There's one thing I've learned about reading Pilgrim's Progress. Every time poor old Pilgrim turned around, son, there was somebody else, something else, there to trouble him in the way, to try to hinder him from getting to that celestial city. Now I'm telling you, that same crowd will be around to try to hinder you and I from getting to that celestial city. But I serve notice on the lying devil right now, buddy. I'm going by the grace of God. Amen! I started out this journey, and God gave me light. And hey, if we'll watch that path we're following, there'll always be a light in that pathway. Amen. Thank God. That's right. He's a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. Bless His wonderful name. Oh, yeah, I'm going to that celestial city.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of hindrances along the way. But Paul said, you're more than conquerors. Paul said he always causes us to triumph in Christ. You know one thing I've learned, another thing I've learned about reading Pilgrim's Progress? All that crowd that Christian met on the way, that whole crowd, they all tried to get in some other way other than coming up through the wicket gate. What are you saying, preacher? They tried to start their journey to the celestial city without coming by the way of the cross.
Amen.
Now I'm here to serve word on you tonight. You'll never go to heaven till you go by the way of the cross.
Amen.
It's the way of the cross that leads home. Thank God it's there that the blood was shed and the life was given. It's there that the sacrifice was made for us. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad, thank God, I come in by the cross. Glory to God. Amen. I come in by the cross. I'm traveling by the cross. And I'm going home by the cross of the Lord Jesus tonight. Better believe that's right. And all that crowd that come up some other way, tried to hinder, old Christian from his journey. And some of them sidetracked him for a little while. But he didn't say sidetracked.
Amen.
No, sir. We may get sidetracked for a little while. But we ain't going to stay that way.
Amen.
Can I run that by you one more time?
Amen.
If you're really saved by the grace of God, you might get sidetracked a little bit. But you ain't going to stay that way. God will bring you back into the way. He said about Israel, he said, I'll hedge up your way with thorns. Israel done everything they could to break away from God this way and that way, but God said, you ain't a going because I'm going to hedge up your way with thorns. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm going to tell you, somebody said, that's mean. Oh no, that's wonderful. You know something? And I've had a whole lot of pricks in me along the way. Now, you'll catch that by slow freight after a while. I've tried to get off the path on this way, and there was that thorn. You think I'm giving you a lot of thorns? You want to see my back? But I'm glad every time I tried to get out of the pathway, God had something. He didn't have something there. He didn't have something there pleasant. There's nothing pleasant going to keep us in the way. I think Christians have got the idea that the way to the celestial city is an easy way. And God's going to supply everything easy along the way for us. No, it's just the contrary.
Amen.
The way to heaven is not the easy way, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
There's troubles and trials. Thank God. I know the way of the transgressor is hard. I understand what I'm saying. I know the way of the transgressor is hard. But what I'm simply saying tonight, that the devil has got imps along the way, ladies and gentlemen. And there's our own flesh that we've got to contend with as well.
Amen.
Along the way. Buddy, I'm telling you, there's been a whole lot of briars that's caught me along the way and said, you're starting to steer off, bud. Better get back out here in the middle of the road where you belong.
Amen.
Now I'll tell you, we can get off in the ditch to the left and we can get off to the ditch on the right if we're not careful.
Amen.
That's right, we can become sorry liberals.
Amen.
Spiritual liberals.
Right.
On the left. Or we can get so far to the right that we become spiritual legalists.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. wrinkle up our nose to somebody that's lost and without God. How long, in heaven's name, can we do what Christ has never done? Show me one sinner that He ever cast out. He said out of His own precious, glorious lips, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out." I'm on, sinner. What are you waiting on? Somebody said, "I'm waiting for a call." That's God, you've got to call. Amen. When Christ died on Calvary and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You've got the call.
Amen.
You've got the invitation. What are you waiting on?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, that's His wonderful name. Thank God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Well, as He always calls you to tripe, I'm still here. I'm still saved."
Give it.
Woo! I'm about ready to shout.
Come on.
Somebody said, "You ever had any battles?" Sure we have.
Yeah.
Ever been tempted to quit? Sure I have. Wouldn't lie to you for 1 minute. Absolutely have. Been tempted many times to lay the armor down. But there's just something burning on the inside.
Amen.
It just won't let me lay her down. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, if you're saved by the grace of God, there's something burning in your heart that just won't let you lay her down, thank God. You might get discouraged and you might get troubled, but I'm telling you, you'll never lay the armor down and you'll never lay the sword down and quit on God. When Paul said, "He always causes us to triumph," Paul said, "I can't quit. I can't lay the sword down. I can't lay the armor down. I'm going all the way."
Amen.
I have to fight my way through the flames and the fires of hell. He said, "I'm going all the way."
Amen.
Thank God, that ought to be our testimony tonight. God doesn't want you to drop along the wayside. God doesn't want you to compromise. He doesn't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to lay the armor down. He doesn't want you to lay your Bible down and quit reading your Bible and quit praying and quit coming to church, quit worshiping God.
Amen.
Those things are our strength.
Amen.
How can we lay them down tonight? He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Somebody said, "You don't know what I'm fighting. I don't give a rag flip what you're fighting."
Amen.
He always, write that word down. He always causes us to triumph. Write that word down.
Amen.
In Christ.
In Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Learn to read that Bible some, thank God. Amen.
Amen.
That book will do something for you. That's right. We can overcome the old devil.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, he's a terror today. That's right. He's bringing fear to the hearts of God's people. Miss Hall told me on the phone the other day we was talking about something. And she said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what I think, honey." She said, "I don't know what to do. And I'm just afraid that the bottom's going to fall out of everything." Let the bottom fall. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the bottom falls out, you'll find a rock underneath of it.
Amen.
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 When those Jews got back to Jerusalem, they said there was much rubbish to be moved. When they finally got all that rubbish moved, you know what they found? That the foundation was still there.
Yep.
Praise God, I'm telling you. The foundation's still there as long as the foundation is there. You can yet build, ladies and gentlemen, as long as the foundation is there. Somebody said, "Well, my house has been blown down." Build her again.
Amen.
You've still got
the foundation. Start all over again. Don't let the devil, have his way in your life. Start over again.
Amen.
Start building again. Somebody said, how many times can we build? As many times as you have to.
Amen.
Because the foundation will always be there.
That's right.
I preached years ago out of that text in Matthew 7, Luke 6 or 7, about those floods that came and so forth. Now, I used an illustration. I'd read an article in the paper about a home that set up in Michigan on one of those lakes. And they had built several. I'm talking about multi-thousand, maybe even multi-million dollar homes out there around that lake. And it showed a picture in the paper of one of those homes, and it was creeling over and starting to fall. And the house was still intact. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The house was 100% intact. But do you know what the problem was? Over time, that lake and its water had undermined that house. And that water would roll in and the sand would roll out. The water would roll in, the sand would roll out. The water would roll in and the sand would roll out. Water would roll in until finally that house fell. That house fell. You know what the problem was? They built on the sand!
Amen.
But I'm telling you, if we'll build on that rock, hallelujah to God. Thank God, that's what the primitive said. When I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the rock.
Woo!
Amen. Amen to God. Just look up. You're still on the rock.
Amen.
Dance around a little while.
Amen.
Sing a few hymns. Praise Him a little while.
Amen.
Praise all your troubles away. Somebody said, I'm not a praiser. Well, learn to be one.
Amen.
Amen.
That Bible said, let everything at half breath praise ye the Lord. I'm going to tell you what Brother Ricky's favorite preacher, Oliver B. Green, used to say. Hey, if you got breath in you, praise the Lord. You can either praise the Lord or drop dead. One of the two, whichever one you want. That's what Dr. Green used to always say. If you got breath in you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I just can't say that. You mean to tell me that while we're singing and while the preacher's preaching, sometimes you can't say amen? It's just a little four-letter word. That's one little four-letter word you can say, all right.
Amen.
L-O-V-E is another little four-letter word you can say a whole lot of if you want to. Amen to God. Thank God. Yes!
Amen.
On the rock, amen. On the foundation, praise God. We are more than conquerors. He always causes us to triumph. Let the winds blow. Let the rains come. Let the floods beat. I'm going to tell you, it'll stand. It'll stand. It'll stand. It'll stand.
Yes, sir.
And if your little house falls, just start building again.
Amen.
Foundation's still there.
Right.
By the way, God is a God of second chances.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something else. God's a God of third chances.
Amen.
God's a God of fourth chances.
Amen.
God's a God of fifth chances.
Amen.
Amen.
He's long-suffering,
yes, he is.
Tender and merciful. Amen. Thank God. In order to make all of us in here tonight, get out and run to McDonald's and back.
Right.
Don't get no Big Mac while you're up there. It'll probably kill you before you got halfway back.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else we can overcome. We can overcome false prophets.
John
said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Amen.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them.
Amen.
Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Again, John does not say you might overcome them. He said you have overcome them. And why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, hey, God Almighty, can you... God in the person of the Holy Ghost lives in our hearts tonight, ladies and gentlemen. How can we lose? We're a winner either way. Hallelujah. Greater is He that's in you. Who's in you tonight?
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Oh, yes. The Comforter is in you tonight. Even the Holy Ghost of God. Bless His wonderful name. Woo! Now, if I wasn't feeling so low, I'd shout.
Amen.
I went home tonight. Miss Hall said, "How you doing?" I said, "Don't ask." I took my blood pressure, never said a word. About 20 minutes later, she said, "What was it?" I said, "Well, you have to know it was 92 over 64. Got a little low. Getting a little low right now. But it might be getting low, but I'm getting high." Woo-hoo! Amen.
Amen.
I'm getting high on the right thing, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That's right. Now, some of you ain't going to like it, but I'm getting pretty wound up on Jesus tonight.
Amen.
Be not drunk with wine, but I'm going to tell you, you can sure get in the way with Jesus tonight.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, we need to get lost in His love just one time.
Amen.
Just get lost in the love of God one time. Get out in it and just wallow around in it. Remember that God loves you. No matter what happens in your life, God still loves you. I don't care how sick you get. I don't care how broke you are. God still loves you.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God.
Amen.
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 That's right. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I want to say also that we can overcome the world, speaking of that. John said in 1 John 5, 4 and 5, it said, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world."
Amen.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Right.
Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the bottom line. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Who is it then that overcomes the world? That man, that woman, that boy, that girl that believes that Jesus is the Son of God and that He's come in the flesh.
Amen.
And He dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Oh, bless His wonderful name. Woo! He walked on this earth. Thank God, I'm telling you. That's right. He created the earth. He walked on the earth. He died on the earth. He was buried in the earth. He came up out of the earth. And He's coming back to the earth. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That'd make a dead Presbyterian get happy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, an application and I'm done. I won't say that we can't overcome discouragement in our hearts.
Amen.
I've got three little points here and I'm done. We can overcome discouragement in our hearts. Oh, I'm telling you, we're living in an hour when God's people are so distraught. Somebody said, "You preach on that a lot." Well, you preach on what's going on, folks.
Amen.
And I think I know a little bit about what's going on here. And not everybody. But a lot of you are discouraged in your heart.
Amen.
You've had some hard bumps. And some hard knocks along the way.
Yep.
And there's some discouragements in that heart. But I'm going to tell you, you can overcome those discouragements. One way to do it is just dwell on the right thing. Hey, if we get to thinking on everything that's bad, great day in the morning, we never will have any joy.
Amen.
And we never will have any victory. We just sit down all the time and mullygrub about everything that's bad and everything that's wrong. That song says, "Don't think about the times when you're down and out. Think about all the times that it brought you out."
Amen.
Think about that sweet, sweet Spirit of God. Way down in your soul, hallelujah.
Amen.
What the songwriter said. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean, dwelling on right things?" Well, you don't dwell on your problems.
Somebody said, well, I'll solve them that way. No, you won't. That's the devil telling you that. You can sit and think about them all you want to think, and thinking about problems ain't going to get nothing done.
Amen.
You can go to bed thinking about a problem, get up the next morning, and that problem will still be there.
Amen.
And many times God doesn't remove the problem. He just works in our heart and gives our heart victory over that problem.
Amen.
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 I'm wondering why I've been like I've been. I don't know. But I know one thing. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible.
Amen.
I go to bed with a problem and I get up with a problem. I go to bed with a shaking palsy and bless God, I wake up with a shaking palsy. Amen. They ain't went away yet. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I don't ever have any hope of them ever going away in this life. They ain't going away. See, I've already faced it. There is no cure for what I have. It ain't a going away.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you one thing. Praise God, there's grace to live with it.
Amen.
He always causes us to triumph in Christ. He may not change the problem, but He can sure change mind your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, somebody said, what do you mean, what? Dwelling on the right thing. Well, Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, for that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee.
That's right.
He thinketh upon us, brethren. We ought to think upon him.
Amen.
Because it said he trusteth in thee.
Good.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, if we could ever keep our mind stayed upon the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Just think about Jesus.
That's right.
All the time, think about Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I know them thoughts are going to come creeping back. But I'm going to tell you, when they do, just start singing a hymn.
Amen.
Start singing one of them old hymns. It's Well With My Soul.
Amen.
Amazing grace, victory in Jesus.
Amen.
I said, every time I get up, every morning I get up and sit down in that green chair, Miss Hall said, hey, field day. I come over here and some of these guys are saying, hey, field day. Where's your blood pressure at? I said, well, it's in here somewhere. No, I mean, how high is it? Well, I don't know. It wasn't very high. Well, how low is it? I don't know, but it can go lower than what it is. When it gets to zero, I'll start thinking about it. Amen to God. What a God we serve! I took that blood pressure over the other day. One of them little old girls, Benny, said, Poppy, what is that thing? I said, that's taking Poppy's blood pressure. He said, what's blood pressure? Inquisitive. I said, well, blood pressure. I said, you got blood that runs through your body. You got a heart. And I said, that heart goes, and it relaxes. It goes, and it relaxes. And I said, your high blood pressure is, when that heart beats, kicks that blood out, and I said, and it expands them arteries and veins. And that blood, that pressure, that blood run through there is real high. You got high blood pressure. I said, but when it lets off, that's the bottom one on your blood pressure. And I said, the heart beats, the arteries open up, it goes back down. And I said, this thing measures when it's up here and when it's down here. When it's up here, and when it's down here, that's blood pressure. That's right. Somebody said, preacher, what about high and low blood pressure? What about it? You think I'm the only person in the world ever had it? Do you think you're the only one in all God's little world that's got the problem you got tonight? I'm telling you, you're not the only person that's got that little old problem you got. There's been millions went on before you, and there's millions right now that's got that same problem, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Better believe that's right.
Amen.
We're not alone in this fight.
That's right.
Amen. Now, you can overcome that discouragement by discovering new things. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, you keep your heart in exercise, what I mean. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew He said, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, or under the kingdom of heaven, is likened to a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. New and old. And you know what some of our problems are? We're trying to live on old things. We're trying to live on what God showed us in the Scriptures years ago. And we don't want to push ourselves to get to go any higher with God. But I'm going to tell you, that householder brings out things. Oh, you don't forget what you have learned. But you're like Paul, you're always pressing toward that mark. Amen unto God. Hallelujah. That's right. And the things Paul said he was forgetting back there is not things God done for him either. That's things he did when he was lost.
Amen.
There's treasures new and old.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm glad I learned some things when I was just a young Christian growing in grace. Boy, I'm glad I didn't stop way back there.
Amen.
When I quit smoking, I thought I'd arrived, boy. Thought I'd really made it. Then God said, what are you going to do about that television? I threw the television out and I said, well, I got her made now. One day the Lord just opened up my heart and said, see what's in there? I said, God, that stinks, Lord.
Amen.
He said, it's because it's corrupt.
Amen.
And I said, you mean smoking a TV ain't my only problem? No. There's a whole bunch of things down in there.
Amen.
You're full of corruption.
Well,
Lord, what can get it out? The book!
Amen.
The blood! The blessed hope!
Amen.
If you think you've arrived, you're an idiot.
Amen.
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 That's right. You better be looking for some new things in your life. But God show you some new things in this book.
Amen.
I believe it's in Isaiah that the Lord told Isaiah. He said, I'll show you a new thing. A new thing. You know what new thing we need tonight? That we've never seen? We need revival!
Amen.
Oh yes, in America, in our church. We need revival. Will thou not revive us again? Thy people may rejoice today. Lord, will thou not rend the heavens and come down again?
Amen.
God, please stir our hearts one more time.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir, friend. Most of us in here tonight, if not all of us in here, don't have one idea what revival is all about.
Amen.
I've talked to a lot of preachers across the country, and there's very few of them share the same thoughts that I do on what revival really is.
Amen.
They think revival's shutting down the bars and this and that. Revival don't have a thing to do with the world, but it's got everything to do with God's people.
Amen.
He is coming after a bride without spot and without blemish. Amen.
Amen.
Revival has always been for God's people.
Amen.
That crowd out there needs to be vived. God's people has already been vived. They need to be revived.
Amen.
Praise God. Like Mae Jackson said, he said, I can't get saved again, but he said, sure would like to get recapped every now and then.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to say you can dissolve some things that are behind you. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind.
Yes, sir.
Oh, when Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, he forgot about the Chaldees. When Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, he forgot all about his sinful ways and his religious past.
Right.
You can overcome disorder in your family. And I'm just going to read these. My time is gone. You can overcome disorder in your family. I'm going to say it's not always easy to do, but you can. You start with prayer.
Amen.
And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You can stay patient.
Amen.
Paul said in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Somebody said, you mean to tell me, preacher, are you trying to tell me that there's tribulation
in being married?
Amen.
Sure there is. Marriage is not what Hollywood that you watched on television
Amen.
Has cropped it up to be.
Right. Amen.
Now you can have a good marriage.
Amen.
But if you try to pattern your marriage after Hollywood, you're going to mess up, friend.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what pattern you need to follow in your marriage is that book.
Amen.
That book right there. It's got the perfect plan for your marriage. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I forget who it was I was talking to the other day. Where was I at? I said something, Ted witnessed a little bit, and I said, well, I was glad I was saved. Some fellows told me, I said, I'm glad I'm saved. Somebody said something about their wife, and I said, well, me and my wife have been married over 43 years. That man said, good night. I said, most folks don't make it but three or four. I said, I'm glad I've made it 43.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, it's always been easy. No, there's been some tribulation. I've had to teach that woman a lot, buddy. Stay peaceful. Proverbs 15:1 said, a soft answer turneth away wrath.
Amen.
But grievous words stir up anger. That's right. Stay peaceful in the home. All that screaming and hollering, my goodness. I remember one time we was leaving my oldest brother's house. Back in them days, you didn't buy a small thing. He had a jar of applesauce. Apple butter. That big round, about that tall. And me and my brother was getting ready to go, me and two or three of my brothers getting ready to go somewhere, and his wife picked up that big jar of apple butter. And we was headed out the front door. My brother was the last one out. Son, she cut slang with that apple butter. It hit the door sill right beside his head. Sunglass, apple butter, everything. I mean, it shot all over everything. Screaming started. I said, Lord, have mercy. I mean, ranting and raving. Praise God, I wish you was dead and all that. I said, man, I'm telling you, boy, ain't it fun to be married. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get there. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. Hey, she throwed boiling water on him one time. I'm serious. He's been real patient. But she's been patient too. Because the other side of the coin is he was a drunk. But oh, for grace. Thank God for grace he got in. Oh, I'm glad. Thank God that grace will save an old drunk. Bless his holy name. If God didn't save drunks, I'd be in hell tonight. But I'm glad God's able to save old drunks tonight.
Amen,
amen to God, yes. Woo!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you can overcome debts to other people. You know what Benjamin Franklin said, when you run in debt, you give another power over your liberty. Whether you make a debt, somebody else has got your liberty. Can I say to you tonight, young people, don't go out here and make big debts in your marriage.
Amen.
I told my son-in-law this several years ago, and my boy, I said, liberty. Liberty is one of the sweetest things you can have in your life. And I said, if you've always got a big payment and a debt hanging over your head and you don't know how you're going to make it from men's meat from one week to the next, you never have liberty. I would rather be broke with liberty than to have millions and have no liberty at all.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to show you something tonight. I know who our president is. But you would think that being a president is, man, have all the liberty of anything he wanted to do. Oh, no. I know he takes a lot of vacation things, but I'm going to tell you, he ain't got all the liberty you think he's got.
Amen.
He's responsible to that office. And he's responsible to that Congress. And he is responsible to America. Oh, he's got a lot. But he's got a lot on his shoulders, too.
Can you imagine Bill Gates? Somebody said, boy, I'd like to have all his money. Do you want his headaches with it? I'd rather have my liberty than to have his stinking headaches.
Amen.
My boy's like Jack Benny. They got so much money, they got to put it in the safe and worry about it all the time. Don't make debts. The rich ruleth over the poor.
Amen.
And the borrower is servant to the lender. Live within your means. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
That's right. Yeah.
People need to learn to live in their own means.
Amen.
Learn to be contented. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content.
Amen.
And he said in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great day. I've got more. I ain't going to preach it. Overcoming disagreements with your friends. Discuss it in private. Go to him with a witness. They won't hear it with a witness. Take him to the church and let the church hear it. It's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Overcoming doubtful thoughts. You can overcome doubtful thoughts. Overcome disagreements. Overcome debts to others. Overcome disorder in the family. Overcome discouraged hearts. You know why? Because he always, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Let's stand together.
Amen.